Gaza, the future of Netanyahu's leadership, and the stability of Israeli regime are hanging in balance.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Mohammed Al-Thiq, writer and political analyst out of Ramallah. Ali Hami, military and strategic affairs analyst out of Beirut. Well, thank you both for being with me. I started off in Ramallah. And Mohammed, the regime doesn't release exact casualties, not casualty numbers, but estimates put the number of Israeli forces killed in Gaza up to 1,150. Has the regime ever taken such a hit like this since it came into existence?
I think the Israeli regime hides many numbers, many statistics about these reports to save at least the morale of the Israeli army. But I think there are many factors made this case inside the Israeli army. The first one, we are talking about the conscription law. When we talk about the conscription law, this law doesn't work inside Israel because of the political contradictions and even the religious principles about Haredim, etc. And we have to talk about the resignations inside the Israeli army with the high ranks inside the Israeli army that reflected negatively on the psychological behavior of the Israeli soldiers inside Gaza and who left Gaza for nothing. Not to mention that the Netanyahu's policy that he insisted in about the prolonged war. Netanyahu wanted and insisted on prolonging war to achieve his goals, that at the expense of the Israeli army and the Israeli soldiers. Another factor, we are talking about the bad reputation of the Israeli army. The Israeli army was the invincible army in front of the international community and the Israeli state. Now, the Israeli army became an army pursued legally worldwide. Even you remember the song spread across the Europe and even U.S., death to the IDF. This is right. An important point for the Israeli soldiers, and that reflected negatively on them, not on them, but on them and their families, their neighborhoods. This is a catastrophe for Israel because Netanyahu's policies.
All right, stay with me. Yes, an interesting point, Ali, that Mohammed mentioned about the invincibility factor, that no longer exists. I mean, we're looking at 22,000 troops who were wounded, and this is the statistics that they actually are releasing. Tell me the effect you think that this can have on the psyche of that society, Ali.
Thanks for having me with you tonight.
Thanks for coming.
Let me tell you that I have my own studies, and I published it about 6 months ago via information and resources coming from soldiers and small videos coming out illegally from the Israeli entity. And I end up with 79,000 people suffering from mental illness or disorder. 20,000 soldiers being killed within the 2 years, 35,000 injured, including the 22,000 handicapped or disabled within the army. And we can add also the Haredim, 54,000 soldiers refused to join the army. So we are talking about the Israeli entity army consists of 625,000 soldiers. We are talking about 275,000 reserve, 350 acting in service, So if you we add up all those numbers of losses and casualties, we end up that more than 25% of the Israeli army is fully or totally or partially destroyed. So all what we heard about the Israeli capability right now is coming like slowly to be exposed to public. And I think I missed it by a very small margin of error I have, because they declared like about 83,000 mentally illness or disorder. I figured before, about 6 months ago, it ended up with my calculation, 79,000. So up to now, I'm still waiting for them to confess. About the 35,000 injured, 20,000 soldiers killed. And if you ask me how I ended up with these numbers, I can explain.
Very interesting, very interesting. Well, just tell me a little bit, staying with you, Ali, because as we talked about, that they definitely try to control the information coming out. But you said dealing with various videos that had gotten out from the regime and other information. Am I correct?
Exactly.
All right, thank you. Going back to Mohammed now, 58% of IOF who were in Gaza now suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. I mean, what does that say to you? Because, I mean, if we look at the, it's really mind-boggling, because if we look at the situation, for example, we saw when we were able to see Hamas earlier, or al-Qassam brigades in the middle of the war, and you see the mentally the way that they are handling it, even though they have so much pressure. Or if we look on the other side of the border, Lebanon and Hezbollah, and the way that their soldiers have seen the war, and even though they have taken a hit, but there's a very different perspective. But then we have the entity itself that's behind all the chaos, that 58% of their troops at least are suffering from PTSD. I mean, what does that say to you?
From my point of view, I think that means that the soldiers faced the fierce resistance in Gaza, the resilience of the Palestinians, and they hide many stories. They killed kids, they killed families, whole families. They killed children, they killed women, and they stuck. They were stuck in Gaza, by the way. Because of that, I think the resilience and the resistance of the Palestinians reflected negatively on their behavior, reduced their morale, and for nothing, by the way. There is no achievement on the ground. There is no victory on the ground. There is no day after in the ground. And with Netanyahu's policies about a multi-front war, like you said about Lebanon, all soldiers just became a tool in Netanyahu's eyes to use them inside Gaza and then in Lebanon. Then he prepared them to go into Syria for nothing, just to achieve his goals or to serve his personal interests or his coalition. I think Netanyahu and his coalition dealt them a blow, and that reflected negatively on their behavior. They became paralyzed people, and their life now, with the stories from Gaza, with the reaction of the international community against them, we saw many stories for soldiers who traveled to Europe and the U.S. They faced a huge storm of criticism. And some of them has been subjected to attack from people. Why? Because their reputation is damaged by their behavior and by the Israeli political echelon and their policies.
Okay. Well, Andy, I mean, let's look at the political perspective. There's growing opposition to the Netanyahu cabinet, with many opposition groups saying that he's using the war to push through various controversial reforms and also to keep himself in power. I mean, what's your perspective about this, and how do you see this affecting the overall situation inside of the entity?
With no doubt, we can see that Israel is moving or transferring from the stability and managing the contradiction inside Israel to the war of contradictions. And we see that Yair Lapid, the head of the opposition parties, exposing all and all the lies of the cabinets now that been declared by Katz or by Benjamin Netanyahu, just to cover their corruption inside Israel for so long. For what we are talking about, more than about 25 years since 1997, and still now the opposition parties trying to take and drag Netanyahu into jail. And this will generate some kind of disorder and a kind of chaos inside the Israeli entity. But I would like to add something regarding the losses of the, because this is very effective and it has big influence about how the politicians are going into what path inside the Israeli policies. Since I said that 20,000 soldiers been killed since 7th of October, let me tell you one thing only for tonight, because it needs more explanations. When Israel on the 7th of October declared that the Zionist Gaza division totally demolished, totally destroyed, and we know that the division within an army consisting of 625,000 soldiers, it means that a division consisting of three brigades, each brigade should be consisting between 5,000 and 7,000 of 7,500 soldiers. So in this case, let's say 12,000 in service acting, 6,000 in vacations or in recess. So it means Gaza division at the night of, or at the time of 7th of October, at that date exactly, it was 12,000 soldiers in active service. So when Israel declared that all the division were demolished and killed, it means they declared that 12,000 soldiers were killed at that night. The second night, they said, no, only 1,200 soldiers were killed. So they just take zero out of the number. And after 2 years, since they declared on the 7th of October that there was 1,200 soldiers by their calculation or misleading numbers, 1,200 soldiers were killed, to end up after 2 years of fighting that only 1,000, they declared now that only 1,170 soldiers only that being killed during those 2 years. This is a big lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that insight. Well, Mohammed, with all these various issues taking place inside of the regime, tell me your thoughts about how the social cohesion of that society is being affected.
Evidently, I think the Israeli policy, or let's be precise in this point, Netanyahu and his coalition wanted to escape from the scene to save their future. But the opposition inside Israel asked Netanyahu today, even they asked them second time today, if you want to take a pardon, you have to leave the political scene. Netanyahu refused that. By the way, he considered that as a It's not a big deal for him. He wanted to save his political future, and he wanted to take a pardon. This is a critical point for Netanyahu and for his coalition, by the way. Because of that, I think Netanyahu to save his coalition from collapsing and to save his political future, he wanted to create new obstacles inside the Israeli political scene. With the internal conflict now, I think the opposition will go through another plan, on the contrary of the expectations about the unity, about the government, about the consensus, consensus government, sorry. But Netanyahu used to go through obstacles or plots to gain more time and to gain more power to strengthen his coalition or to make a new coalition with new parties inside Israel. But I think they are in a big dilemma now, and the situation will be worse in the next days, especially about the main issues inside Israel and about the region, especially after the transformations in the region.
Okay, well, Ali, would you say that the genocide in Gaza and the regime's continual aggression in the West Bank and Lebanon, along with its 12-day war with Iran, has greatly cost the regime? And how do you see this affecting the current economic situation inside of Israel?
Also, according to my calculations and to the Israelis and American studies, that I could get hold of it, that the Israeli losses economically is over $480 billion. The military spending on war, more than $80 billion. And now we are talking about increasing of defense budget by 3% to be like about 7 to 8% of GNP, which is like about $610 billion a year, the Israeli economy. So we are, they are going into a big dilemma and a recession, or let's say maybe not inflation, but deflation also. So the Israelis are suffering right now, and especially exactly after the 12 days war with Iran, because we could saw and hear that the Israelis confess that more than 52% of the let's say the factories, and especially I'm talking about the military equipment factories, and also the big generators. I'm talking about big electric stations. We are talking about also the research centers, big research centers, in addition to also Iran had the big, I think it was Nevatim airport, which were consistent of or containing more than 20 F-35 fighter jets. So I don't know if it was damaged or not. But according to those information, we can see that Israel is now under economic pressure. The United States cannot help because they are going into a recession also, maybe slowly, for what's going on around the world and what's going on in the war in between Russia and Ukraine. And also they are trying to invade also Venezuela. We can see that the United States is spreading everywhere, and it's very costly. They cannot assist the Israelis with such big amount. Maybe they can support them with a small amount of money, a few billions, but we are talking about more than $480 billion in debt.
No? All right. Well, Mohammed, do you think that the Zionists are facing a different reality today compared to October of 2023 And as the world is looking at them differently, and increasingly more young Zionists are actually leaving Israel and migrating elsewhere.
Absolutely, yes. Netanyahu's speech today in the Israeli parliament indicates the crisis that he lives. And I think Netanyahu wanted now to go through the relations with the international community. By the way, he launched a campaign to fix and to renovate the image of Israel, to renovate his image at least among the leaders of the international community. And he bragged about many things about Iran, about Lebanon, about the West Bank, about Gaza, the Gaza Strip. But when you go to see the reality, there is nothing. There is nothing on the ground. There is no achievement. Netanyahu misled the international community, misled the Israeli society. The Israeli society asked about investment, asked about stability, asked about prosperity, asked about the day after in Tel Aviv to see the calm situation. But till now, Netanyahu insisted on creating more wars, launching more wars, and he talked about multi-front war.
Okay.
Netanyahu mentioned Putin to save the border of Israel. That means he is in a big dilemma now to talk with Russia or to talk with U.S. At least he wanted to gain more power in front of the opposition.
All right, stay with me, Mohammed. So sorry, we're just about out of time. Ali, 30 seconds, really, that's about all the time I have. As increasingly more people become aware of Zionism, do you see this as the beginning of the end to Zionism and ultimately to the Zionist regime?
I think what's going on, despite all the big budget, military budget for this year, it's exceeding $35 billion, just to go into a war again with Gaza or with Lebanon, I think they have to hold their horses. They cannot continue in such big dilemma economically, and they are going down. They are not ascending anymore. They are descending. And because of such war, they could not declare any victory against a group of resistance.
Okay.
And for sure, they lost their war against Iran and against Yemen. So I think all the files now, it should be going back to what we can call it as a cold war. Otherwise, Israel will lose strategically more and more.
Thank you so much. So sorry we're out of time. Mohammed Al-Qiq, a writer and political analyst out of Ramallah, Ali Hamdi, military and strategic affairs analyst out of Beirut. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. Goodbye.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram.
Don't you worry, follow the sign, leave the story to the divine. Free yourself and say what's true. Be yourself though you may be few.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram.
You can see straight into my soul. You know in hardship I changed my goals. Now I realize I was so unwise. Abandoned your advice,
faced with your pride.
Help was always near if we persevered,
if we held up
just for a while.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram.
I've gained is without you. If you are pleased, my soul can breathe. Where would I be without you? My heart now flees these worldly dreams, yearning for mercy from you. Now I realize I was so unwise, abandoned your advice,
faced with your trial.
Help was always near if we persevered,
if we held up
just for a while.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram. Al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Ali al-Kiram.
ألقت به ساجدا في الركن فاستبقت فؤاده.
Let's recite the Quran.
وإذا قرأت القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. Insha'Allah, in this episode, we will be continuing the recitation of Surah Nuh, chapter number 71 of the Noble Quran, from verse number 21 of this chapter, insha'Allah. Brother Ali, I'll ask you, without any further ado, please take the honor of reciting verse number 21 of this chapter. Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا.
أحسنتم. First of all, it's not ماله وولده. It is ماله وولده. ولده. Correct?
Yes.
That's one. The second is that, tell me which one is correct. قال نوح ربي or قال نوح ربي.
The first one.
First one, right? So the reason is that we do idgham in this case, right?
Yes.
نوح, it is تنوين at the end. Whenever we have a تنوين or a نون ساكن, and after that we have يرملون letters, يا را ميم لام واو and نون, any of these letters, we merge the noon with the yarmalun letters, correct? However, there are two ways we do it. One way is with ghunna for the yamun letters, ya, mim, waw, and noon letters. We slightly silence the noon sound, we give it a nasal sound, and then we stretch a little bit, right? The other way is without ghunna for ra and lam. And both of these cases we have in this particular verse, right? The first case is with Ra. Nuhur Rabbi. Originally it was Nuhun Rabbi. But now after applying Idgham without Ghunna, that is, we say Qala Nuhur Rabbi, as if the Noon does not exist at all. Right? إنهم the noon, because it is shadda, we do it with ghunna, a little bit of a stretch and a nasal sound. عصوني عصوني صاد is one of the letters of تفخيم, a rounded mouth and a heavy voice. واتبعوا واتبعوا, the alif al-wasl of واتبعوا is not recited because we are joining the previous word to the next word. واتبعوا, here comes the another idgham. This is the idgham of lam and noon. It's not man lam, it's man lam. It's as if the noon over here, كأن لم يكن شيئا مذكورا.
Yes.
It's as if it does not exist, right? It's a silent noon, a completely silent noon without ghunna. Mallam, mallam. You connect the meme to lam directly because noon is merged and it's completely dropped because there is no ghunna in this case. Keep in mind, the idgham without ghunna is only done for lam and ra, correct? Yazidhum, I'm sorry, yazidhu. يزيده قلقلة. قلقلة basically says anywhere we find قطب جد قاف طا با جيم and dal letters and there is ساكن, we to differentiate the sounds of the different letters of these letters from the others, we give an echoing sound. يزيدهم, originally it would have been يزيده يزيده, but after applying قلقلة it would be يزيده يزيده, the dal has an echoing sound.
قال نوح الرب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا.
Noah said, My Lord, indeed they have disobeyed me and followed him whose wealth and children will not increase him except in loss.
أحسنتم, a beautiful recitation. I'll ask Brother Hassan to please recite verse number 22 of this chapter. Brother Hassan.
ومكروا مكرا كبارا.
أحسنتم. Keep in mind that when you're doing sukoon for non-qalqala letters, there is no echo nor there is a vowel. So it's مكروا مكرا, not مكرا.
Oh, yes.
Right? ومكروا مكرا كبارا. Now tell me which one of these recitations are correct, Brother Hassan. ومكروا مكرا كبارا. Or وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا.
The second one?
No, are you sure?
One.
The first one. So in the first one, I did apply the ruling of إِخْفَى with the مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا. Correct? You see, the ruling of إِخْفَى basically says whenever we have a noon ساكن or a تنوين, and after that we have any of the mouth letters, right? In this case, كَ. كبارا, ك, right? We silence the sound of noon, right? And we apply غنّة in this case. And غنّة basically means, again, nasal sound and a small stretch. مكرًا كبارا. Originally, it was مكرًا كبارا. But after the application of إخفاء, the correct recitation would be مكرًا كبارا. Keep in mind, again, we have مكرو مكرو, را is a تفخيم letter. مكرون مكرون, again را is a تفخيم, we have to recite it with تفخيم in this case. كبارا كبارا كبا, با is without تفخيم, is ترقيق, را is with تفخيم, a rounded mouth and a heavy sound.
ومكروا مكرا كبارا.
And they conspired an immense conspiracy.
I'll ask Brother Ma'soon to please recite verse number 23 of chapter Nuh. Brother Ma'soon.
Yes. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا.
أحسنتم, أحسنتم. A very beautiful recitation. آلهتكم ولا, it's إظهار, there is no form of غنى or anything in this case, no إظهار or anything. وقالوا, قاف is again a letter of تفخيم, it's not وقالوا, it's قالوا. وقالوا لا تذرن, again, ra, a letter of tafkhim. It's not a letter of tafkhim per se, but in this case, we apply tafkhim. Ra and lam, they're not letters of tafkhim, but we do apply tafkhim in situations. In this case, because it has a dhamma, whenever ra comes with a fatha or dhamma, we apply tafkhim on it. Whenever it is otherwise, for example, if it's with kasra, we apply tarqiq, right? Tadharunna. Again, ghunna is applied on the noon al-mushadda. In this case, because there's shadda on top of noon, we apply ghunna. Ghunna means a nasal sound in a small stretch. Alihatakum wala tadharunna waddan wala suwa'a. Waddan wala suwa'a. Tell me why, brother Ma'asum, I did not recite per se waddan wala su'a.
Because ruling of idgham.
Idgham, ahsantum. So in the first verse of this episode that Brother Ali recited, we had the idgham with the nuhur rabbi, with noon and ra. And we also had noon and lam as well, right? These idgham were without ghunna. In this case that Brother Ma'asum recited, this idgham is with idgham of ghunna. The tanween of waddan, the noon at the end of tanween, is merged with the waw of wala, wa, right? What happens in this case is that the noon drops its sound. We silence the noon slightly. We give it a nasal sound and a little bit of a stretch because of ghunna, right? Waddan wala suwa'an. Again, the same ruling. Suwa'an. Remember that idgham is applied whenever we have tanween or noon sakin. And after that, we have any of the yarmanun letters. Ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, and noon. Correct? In this case, we have waw. And because it's not lam and ra, we apply ghunna. Whenever we have lam and ra for idgham, we do not apply ghunna. Correct? ولا سواع ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا. Keep in mind, the ra at the end is also a tafkhim recitation in this case. Nasra, then noon and sin is tarqiq, normal. Ra is tafkhim. يعوق, again, tafkhim. Ahsantum.
وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا.
And said, never leave your gods, and never leave Wad or Suwa or Yaguth and Yauq and Nasr.
Verse number 24, the last verse of this episode, Brother Hussein, inshallah, will take the honor of reciting. Brother Hussein.
وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا ضَلَالًا.
أحسنتم. Keep in mind that the waw in تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ is a تَفْخِيم letter, right? وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا ضَ. Again, ضَلَالًا is a تَفْخِيم letter. ضَلَالًا. Now, ba itself is a tafkhim letter. We have to recite with them. But after the lam, lam itself is not a tafkhim letter. So, ba la la. Not ba la la. You see how funny that becomes? Ba la la. Right? Now, you recited this verse with waqf. And I see there is a sign in my Quran that says salah, salam, and ya. Right? What does this waqf say, Brother Hussein? And mind you, this waqf is on top of kathira, right?
Yes, it means that it's better to continue.
It's better to continue, but you can stop. It's up to you, right? You can stop, but it's better if you continue. If you continue, it would have been وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Correct? Now that you've stopped, you recite it like this. وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا. You see, there is a difference in these two recitations. Because there is tanween at the end of kathira, and the tanween is tanween fatha, if you're doing waqf at the end of kathira, then you have to give it an alif. You can't say kathir. You can't say waqad adallu kathir. Because it's tanween fatha, you have to say waqad adallu kathira. And again, this is with tafkhim. kathira, if you're doing waqf. But if you're not doing waqf, right, you're continuing, that tanween converts into a idgham. It becomes mudgham. It becomes the noon at the end of tanween with the waw at the beginning of wala. Now focus on this. And remember, this is with ghunna. We did mention in the previous verse as well. وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. You got it?
وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا ضَلَالًا.
And already they have misled many. And my Lord, do not increase the wrongdoers except in error.
All right, now let's recite these verses again together. From verse number 21 to 24.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا.
Not خسارة, خسارة. خاء is a letter of تفخيم, right? خسارة.
وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا
وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا
مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا مَكْرًا. Keep in mind Ra in this case again, التفخيم letter. وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا, right?
وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَصْرًا
وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا.
أحسنتم.
وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا ضَلَالًا
وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا ولا تزد الظالمين إلا ضلالا.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that concludes this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
بسم الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Kitabullah, Kitabullah. يهديكم.
It guides us through life.
همه چیز رو تعلیم داده.
It has taught us everything.
باید آموخت. باید فهمید.
We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
و اونگاه پیاده کردن این مفاهیم در واقعیت زندگی.
And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیبه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
کتاب الله.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Don't Disturb Mother. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to A to Z here on I'm English Radio with my sister Zainab. And obviously the not disturbing mother, not disturbing our mother, the mother, first of all, I'd say this goes towards the idea that we have this huge respect for women in general, but then especially for our mothers, given that we all know very well that heaven lies at the feet of the mother. So obviously this is something quite special, and obviously in a sense we're supposed to be even more aware, even more sensitive towards the needs of the mother, because when we compare mother and father, we're always told and we're always taught that the mother is more sensitive, the mother is more emotional, and if anything, we should try to satisfy the needs of the mother even over and above the father. And you might observe this anyway in your families. The father will urge everyone to sort of be especially considerate towards the mother. So I just want to give the example from life of one of the famous martyrs of the Holy Defense, Ibrahim Hadi. So he was particularly respectful towards his mother, towards all his female family members, and for sure towards women in society in general. So he was especially careful not to bother his mother. So as an example, if he had been out with maybe just engaged in some of the activities before the revolution, and then also maybe just sort of meeting up with some of his friends, and if he was getting back to the house a bit late, let's say after midnight, 1 a.m, he wouldn't even ring the doorbell because he didn't want to wake his mother up. So what he would do instead, he'd actually sometimes just go to the local mosque and sort of lie down there so he didn't disturb anyone in his house. And then that obviously meant that he was right there for Fajr prayer as well. Welcome back to AIDS Ed here on Iron Links Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And also I'm talking about this idea that we should pay special attention towards the needs of the mother. And obviously I've mentioned how Martyr Ibrahim Hadi wouldn't even ring the doorbell when it got to be sort of late at night and he was coming back a bit late. And I'm just wondering how many of us have been that considerate towards our family or especially our mothers. You know, obviously we, many of us, if we've been out, maybe we, if we're still living with our family, you know, we don't have to ring the doorbell because we've got a set of spare keys. But if you just think to yourself, even just, you know, trying opening the door, just the sound of the keys in the door and that the opening of the door and the closing of the door can, with some people, be enough to even wake them up out of their sleep. So these are other issues. So what do, so how, you know, how much can we do to really be considerate other people? What can we do to be more considerate of our mothers in particular? So what does that mean? So does that, so obviously that would mean in a very, in this sort of situation that for sure, if we're coming back late and we are sort of living, visiting, whether we're visiting our parents, our mother, or are still living in the house, we do not make noise. So we do not, if we've come back, a friend is bringing us back, we don't start talking to a friend outside our parents' house or outside the apartment door, for example. And we certainly don't make a lot of noise trying to open the door. So everything has to be very quiet. But you know, obviously, I think you get the idea. This just extends to general consideration. And obviously, I will also just bring in the reminder that the duties that we have towards our parents and especially our mother, I always say especially our mothers, is to treat them with kindness, not just while they're still quite young, but especially as they get older. We should not voice any sort of word of displeasure or discontent. So I pray that these are reminders for all of us, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of AIDS Ed here on Iron Links Radio, and farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.aranradio.ir.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Around the World with reporters. Listen to fascinating reports from around the world as reporters tell us what is happening in their locality. Then it's time for Insights into the Holy Quran. The program presents a short exegesis or explanation of the ayahs of the Holy Quran. And we round up this hour's programs with Leader's Speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Say the love.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Israel presses ahead with its blatant violations of the Gaza ceasefire agreement, killing and injuring more Palestinian civilians across the war-torn territory. Iran slams Western states for their approach to the genocidal war on Gaza. It also criticizes Western media outlets for distorting facts in covering the war. An international human rights group has filed a complaint with FIFA's ethics committee over peace prize awarded to Donald Trump. Hello and welcome, everybody, here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is World News. Our top story for this half hour: the Israeli military continues to violate the Gaza ceasefire with fresh airstrikes across the war-ravaged territory. In the northern part of Gaza City, a Palestinian woman was killed when Israeli fire hit a tent sheltering the displaced. Eastern neighborhoods, including Al-Shajaya and Al-Zaytun, also came under airstrikes. In the southern city of Khan Yunis, Israeli artillery shelling struck some of the remaining residential buildings. Over 380 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli